Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Maury Rose, the two-time winner, takes the lead from Faulkner. That's the way they finish the first lap.
Realizing that Davison had to get to his pit box.
Very, very lucky for those crew guys.
So we're joined first by Cody Ware making his IndyCar debut. You got a practice, you got a testing session in 2 weeks ago or so. Do you, how are the nerves feeling right now on Friday afternoon?
Yeah, a little nervous. I think once I hop in the car, that'll get rid of some of the jitters. But, you know, just really cool to be here. I think this is a pretty ideal place to make a debut. You know, lots of place to just kind of learn and stay out of the way. So I think we made a good call coming here to Road America.
How was testing recently?
Testing went pretty good. You know, I think the biggest thing is just learning to trust some more of the downforce components. Obviously, tested at Sebring earlier in the year, but not a whole lot of downforce elements at a place like that. So just learning to kind of work on the car, having to dial some of the understeer that we built into the car from a comfort standpoint to get acclimated to the Indy car. But I'm pretty confident that we'll at least be able to, you know, get it, work our way up through the weekend. So,
yeah, glad to have you in Indy car. Welcome to the paddock. What do you see your biggest hurdle for the weekend as far as just getting a good result?
I think my biggest struggle is definitely going to be qualifying. You know, obviously, never having driven these cars, not the option tires either. You know, being able to lay down a lap like that's going to be a new experience for me. But I think that learning how these cars handle, you know, on restarts in dirty air and things like that's going to be a pretty big adjustment for me. Obviously, even in a cup car, there's very little downforce elements that take place except for on the super speedways. So to learn how the front end of the car changes with less air getting on the wing and stuff like that is going to be, you know, a big learning curve. But I think once we're in clean air, it's just about making laps and staying on the racetrack.
So on the other hand, we have Ryan Eversley, who is making his cup debut in a couple weeks. I saw you comment on that earlier. What can you say about Ryan and his ability to adapt to a cup car pretty quick?
I think he won't have a problem. I mean, I've known Ryan for 6-7 years now, and obviously as a factory Honda Acura guy, I think he's going to have no problem adjusting. I think the biggest thing he's going to notice is how crappy the brakes are in a stock car compared to anything he's ever driven, you know, between ABS and carbon ceramics and things like that. So other than that, I mean, at a place like this, you really couldn't pick a more fun place to drive a stock car. I think that here in Mid-Ohio are two of the best places to drive a stock car on a road course, so I think it's going to make for a good weekend for him.
All right, so this one's for my brother. He's a huge anime nerd. So what are you currently, if you are, you know, watching or reading or whatnot, do you have any suggestions for him that I should point in his direction?
Yeah, so I've been watching Jujutsu Kaisen, which is like a new one. It just came out this past season. So I've been watching that. I've actually gone back and started watching Inuyasha, so like pretty big throwback. But, yeah, that's what I've been watching right now lately.
I'll stir those
waves. For sure.
Awesome. Good luck this weekend, man.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Joined now by Graham Rahal. Graham, it's Friday afternoon. You've got a unique weekend in. Finally, we have multiple practice sessions before a race and also a practice session after qualifying instead of Sunday morning. How's that go about setting up your weekend strategy-wise?
Well, I don't think it changes anything too much. I mean, you know, I think we kind of keep things as basic as we can, which is when a session comes, you're prepared for it. You have your checklist of items that you need to go through, and you move on. So, you know, for us tomorrow, I think on Saturday's going to be a busy day. You got to practice in the morning, qualify, and then practice again. But I think you know, that works well. In fact, I think having practice today helps us because the last little while we haven't had that. It's kind of been show up and go, and so at least we can try some things this afternoon.
So as far as complete teams, in my opinion, I'd say the team that you're on is third in my book, which I think is something that maybe others wouldn't agree with. So where would you kind of rank where you guys are at as a whole compared to some of the others on the grid?
Well, I mean, we've been very good. I think we've been great this year. If you look at our you look at our results, we've been top five absolutely everywhere except for one, which is Detroit. And then even if you look at Indy and you look at St. Pete, we were still in the top five and had mishaps. But if you look across the board, I don't know that anybody's been consistently that good. The downside is we haven't been able to win races, and we made our mistakes. So it's I think the team's very well prepared. I think the boys have done an excellent job. The pit stops have improved massively. They were the best in the pits last week at Detroit and got the award for that. So I think they've been pretty locked in with everything they've been doing. So yes, I do think that we're strong. I do think other guys, like this guy standing to my left, I think Schmidt is freaking impressive this year. The pace of the cars, I would say on average they've probably been the best team. Ganassi right there, and we've been, as I said, we've been solid. We just need to the two mishaps that we have cost us a lot.
So Sunday's weather looking a little dicey for the race time. Does that play into practice strategy at all and seeing how different downforces work in the weather?
Not particularly, no. We need to do what we need to do. We'll go out and run and be the best that we can for the sessions that we have. And again, qualifying is important. We're going to try to qualify well. If it rains Sunday afternoon, it rains Sunday afternoon, and we'll approach that when it comes. It seems to be pushing later and later. I haven't looked this morning yet, but the last I saw yesterday, it was kind of 3-4 o'clock. We should be okay, but we'll see how it all plays out.
So last question for me. You had Santino Ferrucci for the last couple weeks. What did he bring from the team, and were you able to learn anything from his ultra-aggressive driving style?
Well, I don't learn anything from it personally, but I think he learned a lot.
Yeah.
In a couple of weeks, he's always been ultra-aggressive, and Santino's always done a good job harnessing that, but not having the issues. Obviously, the last couple of weeks at Indy and Detroit were hard on the team. I mean, to have those two accidents, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. That's not good for the organization, not good for our team. So I think he's learned from that. And, for us this weekend, I just hope it gets back to a fairly ordinary weekend. Try to get the Hy-Vee car up front. Hope Takuma has a great weekend and go from there. We enjoyed having him. I like Santino. I hope that he's got a long career in this, but certainly, it was tough. Those couple weekends were tough on the organization.
Last one for me. I don't know how much free time you have nowadays, but do you have any must binge shows that you want to tell fans about that you're binging right now or anything like that?
I don't watch TV, man. If it's not an Ohio State game or a hockey game right now, there's no shows for me.
Let me redirect that then. I'm a Bears fan. Am I supposed to be super jacked right now?
I think you should be pretty excited. I feel I was with Bears fans yesterday, and I told them I'm still convinced that was the steal of the draft. So
I'm hyped.
I think you'll be just fine.
All right. Thanks,
good luck, man.
Thanks.
Joined now by Connor Daly heading into Friday practice. How are you feeling this weekend?
I mean, honestly, pretty good. I think our car has really taken a lot of great steps forward. I think we were actually quite fast at Detroit in the race, which was good. And obviously we qualified well. Race one, we messed up a little bit. But in general, we have been making the right steps. It's just in the race, we just have not had anything go our way at all. So it was literally the same thing that happened to so many people on Sunday. Rina started third and finished 18th. It's not like he forgot how to drive during the race. You know what I mean? You just get bogged down in certain areas. So I think we're really, really confident now with where our car is. So I think we should be able to take advantage of that, which is kind of exciting. I feel much better now, going into the races instead of trying to find something. We're looking into the air for some magic.
Yeah, I guess I kind of asked this earlier to another driver. So did you step on an Indian burial ground in the off season or walk under a ladder?
Something like that. I don't know. It's just weird. But I just see, you look at the results and you're sometimes you're like, I didn't see any of those people the whole race. How did that even happen? You know what I mean? And it's just, but that's the kind of the weird and exciting part about IndyCar is you really can come from anywhere. And especially at Detroit, I think our engineer said before, he's like, I actually hate that we're starting in towards the front. And I was like, yeah, I know, me too. It's Detroit never seems like that's how it works. So this race should be good though. I mean, the series is so competitive right now, and It's going to be close, but it'll be fun.
You've got a new teammate this weekend, and Oliver asks you, what do you know about Oliver's driving from the last year, and have you been able to give him any kind of tips on how the Ed Carpenter cars work? Anything, any advice?
I mean, Oliver doesn't need any advice. The guy knows how to drive, you know what I mean? Like, he's obviously a very well-qualified driver, and he's a good kid. So, like, I think, sadly, last year here, we ran into each other at the start because everyone stopped. So that was sad. But yeah, I mean, the guy knows how to drive. I mean, it's actually going to be – I'm very curious to see what he has to say from his experience. You know, obviously at McLaren, I think right now they've probably got the quickest car on the grid. And so it'll be cool to see, you know, what he feels might be different. Obviously, every driver has to be pretty, you know, you can't say anything. You got to be respectful of each team. I mean, I've done this before. I've gone from team to team, so I know how that works. But it'll be cool to just see what he thinks and see what he feels.
I can't not ask about the mullet. How long is it staying?
I mean, honestly, man, it's selling merch. So if people like it, driver intros at Detroit Race 2. A bunch of people shouted, "Show us the hair!" And I did, and it was like a giant cheer. So whatever keeps the electricity going, I mean, it's all about, you know, making people excited and selling merch.
Awesome, man. Well, best of luck this weekend, and good luck.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate that.
We're now joined by Romain Grosjean, driving the number 51 car this weekend. What's IndyCar been like in the first, you know, you're almost halfway through your rookie season. How much have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, it's been great fun, you know, from discovering the series to the atmosphere to the racetrack and also fighting for podiums and pole position that didn't happen for a long time. So really the experience has been very, very positive. Obviously, you always want more, but as a rookie, you know, sometimes it's, you know, you just need to take the time.
Is it weird being called a rookie in all these interviews?
Very much.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to look ahead to Gateway because I think a lot of people are looking forward to seeing you on an oval. If all goes well, do you think that would spring you into a full-time ride next year and potentially, because I think a lot of people know how strong you are, you would definitely be, in my opinion, a championship contender. So is that excite you at all, or is it kind of stuff we'll just take it as it is, as Gateway comes and goes, things like that?
Yeah, time will tell, I guess. You know, I think I'm having a really good time here in IndyCar, and I wouldn't lie if I wouldn't say that I'm looking at doing more here. And as you say, if you want to win a championship, you need to do all races. But it's a discussion that you know, I will have with myself and my family, and then we make decisions depending on opportunities for the future. But never say never.
There you go.
I like it. So I'll wrap it up with one more. To our left here, we have Kevin Magnussen, who you've been a teammate with for many years. Maybe some people who don't follow Formula One aren't familiar with Kevin. So what can you tell IndyCar fans about Kevin, Kevin's driving style, wherever you want to go with that?
He's a Viking, that's what I can tell you. In the race, he's someone you don't want to have to pass.
Yeah.
He's really good in the race. He never gives up. He's capable of putting some great stuff out of the car. We've had an amazing relationship at Haas for many years, and I can't wait to see him in the car. I know he's been talking to me about IndyCar for a long time. He says he loved the series, and here he is. He's got a chance to do it, so it's awesome.
Were you the first person he probably messaged after the announcement to start getting some tips and tricks?
Well, I did message him, and he replied, and I say, anytime you land in the US, come in the bus, and I'll take you through what I can take you through. You know, I told him as much as I could,
right.
But obviously, you know, he needs to put his bum in a car and see how it goes.
All right, my last question. It could be a two-parter here. So, first of all, do you like beer?
I do like beer, yes.
Have you had a chance, or have you heard of Spotted Cow?
No, I haven't tried it yet. I heard about it, but I haven't tried it yet.
Okay, I'll just say he's not the biggest fan. It is my favorite beer, and they only sell it in Wisconsin. So I think before you head home, I think you must try it.
Well, I'll get one on the road after the race on Sunday.
Probably celebrating a win, right?
Exactly, that would be great.
Good luck, man.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, I'm with Kevin Magnussen here. Describe the learning curve so far.
Yeah, it's a very steep learning curve. I've never driven an IndyCar before, never raced at this track, so it's very new, and there's got to be a lot of stuff to learn. I'm up for it, you know, I'm excited and grateful for the opportunity. So,
how much can you take from the DPI test a couple weeks ago, at least, you know, to be familiar with the track?
Yeah, I'm glad I got that, you know. Yeah. I at least know kind of the feel of the track, and I have a bit of a rhythm. Of course, it's not the same car, but it does help. So we'll see how it goes. We've got two sessions of 45 minutes. It's not a lot of track time before I need to qualify this thing. But, you know, I'm excited about it. I'm ready to go and looking forward to it.
So kind of throwback, a question from a couple years ago. How close were you to joining Andretti Autosport in around the 2015 time period?
Well, I mean, it's hard to really explain how close I was. I wanted to do it. I was very, I spoke to Andretti, of course. I spoke to Chip Ganassi as well. I spoke to Ray Hall, and they were all very, very nice and keen to go and do something. But it just didn't happen. It was, I think it was end of January when I approached these guys, and you know, there's no time to put together a program. So. I've always had an interest in IndyCar. It's always been, I've always been a fan of IndyCar. My dad raced in the 90s, and naturally it's just been part of my life. And I'm very glad to be standing here today.
So you've got, like you mentioned, a couple practice sessions before qualifying. What's the, you know, I know this is your first race, but are you pushing with Pato to get as far up in the grid as possible, try to sneak onto the podium? You've got a capable teammate that could probably lead you up there.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm trying not to think of any sort of end result expectations, because it's a big ask to jump straight into a car that you've never driven before. I haven't driven single seaters since the end of last year in Formula One, and I think it's good to keep expectations under control. So I'll just go out and see how I do. I have a lot of confidence in myself, but you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself.
All right, so I'm assuming you're probably being asked a lot of the same questions, so we'll switch it up here a little bit. So it's about football. So first of all, are you do you have a personal relationship with Christian Eriksen at all? I mean, what happened to him was very scary.
It was very scary. It was scary for everyone, you know. Can't even imagine how scary it must have been for his close friends and his family. You know, his wife and his kids were watching, his parents would have been watching, and it's not a nice situation. You know, I really feel for them, for his team, for the rest of the team. You know, the national team, and
it's scary.
It was a terrible situation.
But on a positive, have you gotten a chance to watch them? And what are your thoughts about the national team and Euros right now?
Yeah, I got a chance to watch them. Of course, it's a little difficult to tune in from America, but been supporting, of course, from over here, and you know, huge respect for the guys still carrying on and pushing for Denmark, and very proud to be Danish in this situation.
Good luck this weekend, man. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Joined now by championship leader Pato O'Ward, and we were just mentioning before I hit record that 2 years ago, almost to the weekend, you were driving for Carlin in Detroit, and I think that was your last IndyCar race that year, 2018 or 2019. You know, it was around there. How different does it feel now to go from that situation to you're leading the damn championship?
A lot has changed, but man, I mean, I feel like we're on a very good path so far. Myself, Adam McLaren, SP, and honestly, the whole group has been, you know, doing their job really well. And man, this year it's stacked.
Yeah,
and it's so competitive. And now, like, you even see the small teams and you know, competing against the big teams. And I think that's because everybody has found the performance that there is with this aero kit and these engines, and I feel like what there was to gain 5 years ago just isn't there anymore. So the gains are very small, and you have to do everything perfectly in terms of the little things: in and out laps, pit stops, qualifying well, executing when it comes to going from blacks to reds. So I feel like so far we've been doing a good job of that. But man, there's still so much racing to go. We need to keep our head in the game, and we need to continue pushing, because it's going to be tough beating these Ganassi guys and the Penske's and the Andretti's. I mean, the list goes on.
Is it almost surreal to look at your name at the top of the leaderboard next to Scott Dixon and Joseph Newgarden and all these guys? Like, do you sometimes wake up and go, like, is this actually happening right now?
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
I mean, these past few years, as a driver, I've really mentalized as in they are competitors. They are now the people that you have to beat. So honestly, it doesn't feel out of the ordinary. You know, it might have maybe 3 years ago, but, now the reality is that we're competing against them. And these are the guys that we have to try and beat every single weekend, day in, day out. And I feel like so far we've been doing a good job, but there's always things that we can improve on. And, I mean, they're just... they're some of the best in the best. So you really have to be in your A game always.
Side note, on all these media conferences, you usually get asked a question or two in Spanish. How many times is that person making fun of somebody else in the media? Because we're always confused.
Rarely.
Okay.
Yeah, they usually ask me questions that have already been asked in English.
Okay.
Yeah, but honestly, yeah, they don't make fun of the way
we're sitting there.
I mean, I don't know. My Spanish isn't very good, but I'm pretty sure I heard Taylor Kyle is a punk at some point in your front. Did you say that in Spanish?
No.
Oh, okay. Dang, my Spanish isn't very good then.
Yeah. You need to recheck that.
We won't put that in the transcript.
No, yeah. So I feel like it's always silly season. No matter, you can't get away from it. So as far as your plans for the future, are you locked down with McLaren for next year? Or is it? Okay. Yes. So that's got to be kind of...
Yeah, I'm in with the team, what's it called? This and next year.
Okay.
Both Felix and I are on the same kind of plan.
And then my other question I had to ask you is, so my wife's a huge sushi fan.
Oh, yeah?
Except for, she doesn't like raw fish in her sushi, but she loves, like, veggie roll kind of things.
All right.
Do you have one that I should recommend to her?
Cucumber avocado roll.
Okay.
That's what I have all the time.
So, yeah, are you a raw fish guy too or no?
I am, but okay. I honestly I eat a lot of vegan meals. Okay. As much as I can. So when I go to sushi, it's my go-to, cucumber avocado roll.
All right, well, I'll suggest that to her.
Pretty good. Awesome. Good luck, man.
Thanks, dude. Good luck. Thank you.
Joined now by Sebastian Bourdais, driving again for the 14 Foyt car. Halfway through your return to full-season racing after last year's kind of off and on, does it feel good to just be in the car week in and week out? Does that help you each race?
I mean, I think we've obviously had a very shaky month of May, and I think we had a good opportunity in Detroit. Unfortunately, things didn't quite pan out the way we wanted, so we're definitely a bit behind the eight ball, trying to find a little bit better results. But we'll keep digging and doing our thing, and hopefully at some point the results come. It's just so competitive, a little couple tenths here and there, and then you know you're running at the front or running mid pack. So we just have to execute and maybe get a bit of a lucky break.
So you shared your thoughts on the windscreen portion of the aero screen on road courses. I was just wondering if you had a chance to talk to either, like, you know, Race Control, Jay Fry, or anybody about that and what the conversation was like.
No, there's no conversation.
Okay, so it was just you sharing your thoughts and...
They don't care.
They don't care?
All right, I will follow up with... You're now with your second year with Foyt. Has AJ Foyt, what's one piece of advice that AJ Foyt has given you that's stuck with you for the last year and a half?
I think really, I mean, he's pretty you know, hands off at this point, but he's obviously a great character. He's awesome to be around, and we're all trying to perform to, you know, get him the results that he wants and that the team deserves. So I think he's been very supportive, and that's you know, it's been very good to me, because, you know, it's obviously you hear all the stories of AJ being tough and everything, but he's seeing that everybody's working really hard and trying, you know, their best. So I haven't heard anything negative about it, about anything we've done, and just try to, you know, make things better. He shared some feedback of what he sees, and we're just you know, trying to head the boat in the right direction.
All right, so a little get-to-know-you question. What is your all-time favorite food?
I'm pretty open. I'm pretty foodie, so I don't really have one thing that I go to. I very much enjoy international cuisine, whether being like Japanese or Thai or Mexican, or, you know, a good old steak. I love fish. I love, you know, I'm not pinned on one thing, really.
Does French cuisine, like, if you go to a French restaurant in America, does that compare to a French restaurant in France, or is that like...
It depends. I mean, there's not a French restaurant in America, but yeah, there are some very, very good chefs. So for sure, if you go to Guy Savoy in Vegas or places like that, you're going to get some gourmet food, and, you know, it's just as good anywhere else in the world. So
you had J.R. Hildebrand with you for May, and Charlie Kimball, unfortunately, obviously didn't make the race, but you had him with you. Having four cars for the month of May, how valuable was that?
I mean, honestly, just, you know, focus on what it is that you do. I think we got a couple of interesting reads from JR and from Charlie. But, you know, it's so funny how it is, because, like, everybody thinks that you have a ton of time going in the month of May, and then before you know it, the prep week is over, and you're in the thick of it, and you're not necessarily super happy with your car. We knew we didn't have the fastest thing out there, and it proved true, but, you know, there was definitely a good opportunity in the race to finish in the top 10, and unfortunately we picked a strategy, and the fuel saving strategy wasn't it. Scott was the best of the survivors and finished 18th, so unfortunately, you know, it's just the way it is. You know, sometimes you have to make a bet on the future, and there was no yellow, and nothing saved us. So, you know, we're all along we're playing with Sage and Ed, and they finished 5th and 7th. So there's definitely a few regrets there, but it is Indy, and as far as, you know, going from 2 to 4 cars, it's a lot of stress on the team. I think, you know, in some ways it helps, some ways it hurts, but overall it was good to work with those guys.
And then finally, silly season. I feel like we're kind of there. How does next year looking for you?
I don't know. I mean, you'd have to ask Larry. I think.
Are you happy where you're at, and you want to continue with the team next year? You think opportunity presents itself?
If they want me to continue to help, you know, rebuild, but I feel like we need to deliver. You know, we need to not just be there here and there and show that the pace is going up and stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, nobody really cares about reasons or excuses. It's all about results. And right now we seem to start pretty well, and we had, you know, good things going, St. Pete, Barber, and all. And yeah, since then it's been difficult. So hopefully we can, you know, help the situation by getting some good results.
Awesome, man. Well, best of luck this weekend. Last summer, you told Matt to have some eel.
I was literally going to ask that.
Oh, no.
Coupon.
So, Matt has not eaten eel yet.
Where do I even find it?
I don't know. I mean, on a Japanese restaurant, for sure, but it's not that tough.
So if I walk into a Japanese restaurant, they'll be like, oh, yeah, here you go.
You have to go to a Japanese restaurant, not a non-Japanese restaurant.
Not like Panda Express.
No. Yeah, if you go to Panda Express and you're like, oh, you have a nugget, they are probably going to look
at you. I mean, we don't pre-plan this, but...
Yeah. I had no idea, like, literally just thought of it as you walked over here.
But that was, like, almost a year ago, right?
Yeah, I think it was a year ago after Road America.
And things... I know. Well, he hasn't watched Star Wars yet, which Jack Harvey gets mad at him about, so I guess this will be my thing that I have to own.
Yeah.
So I'll get to it. I promise.
Wait, I don't trust him anymore.
Yeah.
Are you trusting him? Like...
It's shaky. I mean, he lost a bet like 4 months ago where he had to eat a chunk of blue cheese.
And
has he succeeded on the bet yet? No, he has not lived
so
up to
it.
We're
not going to trust him anymore.
Yeah.
It's all right. We know now the type of person you are.
I don't trust myself half the time.
So okay, yeah, that's good.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you for a second. In our preseason recording, I was a little worried about you stepping into the number 10 car. Not because of you, but because that number 10 car has kind of been cursed lately. It seems like everybody gets in that car. The results aren't really there. 1 point off the championship. P2 at Indy 500. Got your first win and your first race Ganassi. It's got it pretty awesome, right?
So do you trust it now? You have full confidence?
Yes. Oh, no. You're like going into weekend now in like fantasy Indy car, it's like blow.
Okay, that's good then. That's good to know. Yeah, I mean... I understand, and obviously after last year, which was good year but not super awesome year, there was a lot of people that didn't really trust it 100%, but there was one guy that trusted it, and that was Chip, and that's all that matters. I knew I could do it, and I had the tools, so I had the tools, and I had all my teammates that I was able to learn from them. So it's been good so far. It's not that we've done it. I mean, we have to go to the championship at the end and fight for it. But we had a good start so far, and hopefully we can keep it going.
Making Chip look really smart is what you're doing.
Well, he looks right, and he knows how to win championships, win races, and get good cars. So he gave me the opportunity that nobody ever gave me, like giving me a championship winning car, and now we gotta do it. So we've been good so far, but yeah, we gotta finish it at the end.
So you're learning from some guys who have done this a few times. Scott Dixon, Marcus Ericsson, who's been around for a few years, but specifically Dixon. No matter what happens, bad luck turns into good luck for Scott. Have you been able to, you know, talk to him, learn from him, any sort of information that you can glean that will help you not just, you know, this weekend or this year, but, you know, further down the line as your career goes on?
Yeah, I mean, Scott, there's a lot of people that say that he always has good luck, like Detroit on the start. But, I mean, he knows how he can get to the limit or how far he can go without risking it 100%. And that's what we see. Like, he is always there and he's always able to come back. And it's amazing to be able to see that from the inside for me. So I've been asking him a lot of questions. I've been seeing all the data, all the videos from him. I've been listening all the time, so I think I'm learning a lot. But still, the man, it's Scott Dixon, and he's always there. He's always there, even when he has a bad weekend, like in the road course, he was starting I don't know where, and then he was able to go there and finish on the top 10, which is what you need to win a championship. So, he's the man, and it's amazing to have him as my teammate.
All right, so even though we have trust issues, I don't know if you've gotten a chance to talk to Cody Ware yet, but you know, you obviously have a lot of, you know, Japanese culture that you enjoy. Just wondering, he's a big anime guy.
No way.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
I didn't know if you had like any anime, because I asked him like what anime I should suggest to my brother.
So
I don't know if you're into that.
I'm not really into that. You should watch one anime that it's about a racing driver,
okay.
And it's named Capetta, I think. I'll shoot you a text with the name.
Okay.
But I think it's Capetta, and it's a story in anime, the story of a young driver that starts in go-karting and it ends up in like Formula One or Formula whatever. That's quite cool. But I'm not really into anime.
Okay.
I spend a lot of time there, and I really like. enjoy watching what people is able to do with anime, but I don't really follow a lot of anime.
Awesome. Well, best of luck this weekend, man.
Thank you, guys.
We are now joined by the legendary Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy, welcome to IndyCar and Road America. Have you gotten to test here yet?
I did. We came 2 Wednesdays ago, I believe. Okay. So just after the 500, I was able to come here and spend a full day.
What did you think about the track and how did testing go?
I had a great time. What a facility. I've always dreamed of racing on this track. And sadly, through my NASCAR career, Cup never came to the track. I watched with envy every time the Xfinity Series would race here and really any series. So to now be here is super cool.
So I want to personally say that your progress this year has been excellent. And you're clearly making the strides, and it's really looking good. Some people on Twitter don't agree. And Simon Pagenaud and Alexander Rossi even got to the point where they were defending you last week. And I know the answer is no, that you don't really take stock of maybe what people are saying online. But are you happy with your progress so far, despite what some of the keyboard warriors might be saying online?
I hate I missed all that on Twitter. I would have jumped in. You know, my give a shit meter broke a long time ago about the keyboard warriors. You know, they're welcome to say whatever they want, and I've been upfront and honest with everyone on this journey. This is for me. You know, if the fans don't think I need to be out there, that's cool. That's their opinion. I know there are many that do. I'm making big strides and honestly having the time of my life, and I'm really enjoying this experience in IndyCar.
I think Rossi's wording was to a reply was, "This is a really bad tweet," or something like that. When someone's like, "Why does Johnson get a free pass?" It's like, shut up.
I have to thank him for sticking up for me. That's cool.
Yes, it was a very good, to the point reply that we agree with him as well. But what's it, you know, when before the season started, you obviously had a set of expectations on how it would go. How has this lived up to your expectations, you know, halfway through the season so far?
Experience wise, it has been greater than what I had hoped for. These cars are beasts, and the regulars make it look easy to drive one, and hats off to them. So I've loved every lap that I have made. The venues, the experience, the vibe, the cultural differences, you know, between IndyCar and NASCAR, it's all been a really cool change. The only thing that's kind of caught me out is just how different these cars are than what I grew up driving. And I thought my starting point would have been like where I am now, and I'm just now there. So I still have a long road ahead of myself, but enjoying every minute of it.
And then my last question, I've asked a couple other guys this, are you a beer guy at all?
Absolutely. I lived in Wisconsin for 2 full years and 3 summers, and I felt like that just came with the territory, and I got pretty good at it.
So I don't even have to ask you about Spotted Cow then?
Like, I'm familiar with. I have not had any.
Oh, my God.
The guys here at the track, when I was here testing, said they were going to give me a six-pack for the ride home, and I didn't get it. So I need to hit them up for that six-pack.
All right. Yeah. Best of luck this weekend.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.